KMTT, Ki Nitzion Tetzei Torah, welcome back. And today is Wednesday, and in this summer's month, the Wednesday share will be given by Harav Moshe Tarrigan, a share on ethical character, midot, ethical attributes and character. Harav Moshe Tarrigan.
Emir Hashem, this series of shiurim will address the various character traits, the midos, which constitute the fabric or the landscape of religious personality. What are the character traits, aside from obviously general Shmiras HaMitzvos, Yirat Shamayim, Ahavas Hashem? Those are not character traits. Those are prisms or seminal, foundational mentality, states of mind, attitudes, which inform our overall life, create drive and perspective of religious consciousness. But what are the personal traits? What are the personal virtues, the midos, that are necessary to complete the religious personality? There's a very interesting preamble to Pirkei Avos, the very famous preamble. Moshe kibol Torah miSinai u'masara liYeshua v'Yeshua l'Zkenim, and the beginning of Pirkei Avos chronicles the transmission of the Masara. It's a very famous question, why exactly this introduction or preface is positioned right before Pirkei Avos. It should have logically served as a preface for the entire Torah Sheba'al Peh, for the entire Shas, and naturally it should have been stationed right before Brachos, right before the beginning, or in the first sections of Brachos, Moshe Kibbol Torah miSinai, outlining the path of our Masara. So there obviously are multiple answers to this critical question, but the Meiri, and presumably Rav Kook as well to a degree, each presumed that when it comes to building personal character traits, morality, ethics, even to a certain degree, the modalities of Yirat Shamayim, you would think that because these areas of personal development and of human experience are so subjective and contextual, that there really is no tradition, there really is no transmission of a masara. The pure and mathematical world of halacha, how much matzah to eat, when to ingest, how long the lulav should be, how black the tefillin, these areas of ritual are universal and objective. They apply and obtain universally to every Jew in every location and every context, presuming, of course, the capacity to fulfill these mitzvahs. So in those areas of strict ritual, which are referred to as bin adam lamakom, we would almost assume for granted that the tradition dictates uniform, regulated forms of behavior. But in the area of personal development, obviously everything is so subjective and contextual, you would think that there really isn't a tradition or a basic code which serves as a template for this type of character development. And to debunk or to dash this thought, Bira Nasi inserted the chronicling of our tradition specifically prior to Pirkei Avos, which is the most concentrated or saturated collection of statements of Chazal. Obviously, Shas and the entire liturgy or literature of Chazal is strewn and laced with references, with statements and recommendations about developing midos in personal and religious character. But Pirkei Avos is the most condensed and saturated section of the entire literature of Chazal. And it's specifically this section which receives the preface of Moshe Kibbol Torah miSinai, particularly to remind us that despite its subjective nature, and despite the fact that very much nothing can be locked in as a concrete sense, everything has to be seen in its context, the framework, the context, the particular individual, the precise situation, there is a collection of foundations which should inform our overall development, and these foundational seminal ideas are collapsed into Pirkei Avos. And somehow it's our challenge to acquire these traits on the spirit which Chazal provided, but to assure that these traits are thought of honestly and authentically. Chazal lived 2,000 years ago, so they can provide the basic code, the basic set of tenets, but it's impossible for a generation 2,000 years to provide precise and exact direction, precise and direct recipes for personal development. The spirit of Chazal has to be updated with the contemporary situation, with the contemporary context. Before addressing any of the particular traits which constitute human virtue and religious character, I want to speak about the Rambam's very famous Midah Beinonis, the middle path, the golden mean, the balanced approach. To a certain extent, this notion of Midah Beinonis is a pretext to any particular trait, because every trait which a person acquires has to be acquired through the policies and the mandate of Midah Beinonis, which the Rambam outlines in Hilchos Deos. The source, or the closest source in Chazal for Midah Beinonis, is a Gemara, actually a Yishalmi in Chagiga. The Yishalmi in Chagiga, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, likens Torah to two pathways, Shnei Shvilin, two parallel roads. Echad Shel Or, one road is heated, is light. The Echad Shel Sheleg, and one road has snow in it. Very interesting that the Yishalmi employs the term snow, not darkness, which would be one opposite of light, but snow. Snow is not a very frequent metaphor in Chazal, certainly. Chazal operated more or less in a Mediterranean context, and snow is not a dominant aspect of the Mediterranean climate of Eretz Yisrael or Bavel. But in this case, Chazal likened one road to light with its heat and one to snow, and obviously a person wants to achieve homeostatic balance between the two, and that's why the opposite of snow is employed, not darkness, because darkness per se is not an element which necessarily has to be balanced with light. Light and illumination can be adopted exclusively, but thermodynamics demands balance, homeostatic balance within any organism. Hatara azu dome l'shnei shevilin, echad shel or, heat, v'echad shel sheleg. Sheleg means cold. Hita blazeh meis ba'or, if he inclines or migrates towards one side, he dies in heat exhaustion. Hita bazu meis ba'sheleg ma yaseh, what is the solution? Yehalech be'emsa. He should walk directly in the middle between the two paths. This portrait of the Yishalmi in Chagiga and Perek Beis serves as the backdrop for the Rambam's description. The Rambam's description is contained in the very beginning of Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos is one of the five sections of Mada, and what's fascinating about this section is that the Rambam essentially concocted or created this book. Sometimes the Rambam's Svarim of Yad Chazaka, the groups of halachos, are more or less patterned after particular Masechtas. So Hilchos Nashim, for example, or Hilchos Ishos, is more or less derived from Masechtas Kiddushin, with a healthy dose of the Yuchsin described in Masechtas Yevamos and other areas. Obviously, Hilchos Gerushin is patterned after Masechtas Gittin. Hilchos Lulav is taken from Masechtas Sukkah. So the overwhelming majority of the subsections of the Rambam Sefer are patterned after collections of halachos already extant in Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam elaborates, organizes, catalogs, as is his style. Sometimes the Rambam essentially creates sections of halacha by collecting and collating various scattered segments throughout Shas and creating an entirely new section. Hilchos Melachim is perhaps one of the most famous ones. There is no Maseches Melachim, nor is there any one location in Shas which deals primarily with the laws of Melachim. Obviously, there's a heavy dosage in Sanhedrin, but the Rambam created the concept of Hilchos Melachim, not really the concept, but the backbone, the skeleton of Hilchos Melachim was not based on any one Masechta. Hilchos Tshuva would be another such example. So Hilchos Deos, where the Rambam attempts to describe all the traits, there is no Masechta in Shas. Even Pirkei Avos, despite its condensed description, it's not only the world of personal character traits, it's also the world of Talmud Torah and Yirat Shamayim and Tefillah, and some of the Prakim are even less relevant to human development. There's certainly the fifth parak describing certain things created, and the numbers of ten listed. So the Rambam essentially created Hilchos Deos. So in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam begins by, first of all, acknowledging Deos Harbe Yesh L'Kol Echad V'Echad. This is the Rambam's language in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph B'bnei Adam. Jews believe in free will, freedom of choice, Bechira Chavshis. We're the only creature in this universe empowered to make choices, to impose our moral will upon our human instinct, upon our hormones. But that being said, we also acknowledge, we're not predeterministic or Calvinistic, but we also acknowledge predilection, predisposition, tendencies, genetic or otherwise, nurture and nature, but certainly nature. So the Rambam confesses that despite the importance and the power of freedom of choice, and the Rambam certainly in Hilchos Tshuva underscores Rishus L'Kol Echad, very famous sections of the Rambam, perhaps we'll discuss them in some of the Shiurim. The Rambam begins by acknowledging differences in people, and those differences aren't merely of taste and of style, of look, appearance, and voice, but those differences can express themselves amongst character traits. Some are quick-fused, some are very tolerant by their nature, some are very haughty, arrogant, or ambitious. The Rambam describes them as govalev. Some are shafel ruach biyoser, which we would call meek, humble, unpretentious. Some are very have great appetite. It could be avaricious. It could be for physical material pleasure. Some are more comfortable in a depriving, ascetic lifestyle. Some are lazy, some are energetic, traits which are not by definition moral, but obviously can be instrumental in enabling or in impeding moral behavior. So the Rambam acknowledges, and by and large Judaism does acknowledge, that man is not a tabula rasa, man is not a clean slate or an open template, but each person has different genetic, as well as I said before, psychological and conferred predispositions, and that doesn't contradict or in any way subvert our freedom of choice. Part of the challenge of freedom of choice is recognizing your traits and characters and balancing yourself out and completing yourself as an individual, as a human being. There's great controversy today about all sorts of moral and halachic prohibitions and vices which a person may have genetic predisposition towards. Modern genetic study has uncovered genetic sources and genetic baselines for certain traits, homosexuality and aggressive behavior and potential criminal behavior. And there are some Orthodox thinkers who find these discoveries unnerving and unsettling, because how could the Torah prescribe or outlaw, how could the Torah ban behavior which it had pre-programmed genetically into different individuals? And our answer is, well, each person has their own genetic makeup and their own psychological composition, and Hashem delivers a system of moral law and a divine will that allows us to change ourselves, and to not only change ourselves, but at the very least moderate our behavior and regulate the expression of those instincts. So the Rambam begins by acknowledging differences, and differences which are predetermined. In the second halacha of Perek Aleph, having established these differences, the Rambam then outlines the dangers of excess. Shtei kitzavos harechokos zu mizu shebechol dea, einan derech tova. The extremes, the poles, the absolute fixed points on either end of the spectrum are both inherently evil, einam derech tova, ve'ein roi la'adam l'lachas b'em, and they're inadvisable. And if you find your nature, the Rambam continues, migrating, inclining, tending towards one of them, you should try to return and balance yourself in what the Rambam calls the derech hayishara. Very often, polar, excessive, extreme forms of behavior are very appealing to us because they're absolute, they're black and white, they're clear, they're unconditional, they seem to be very passionate, very disciplined, and very appealing. The Rambam completely subverts that notion. He calls them dangerous. Now, one disclaimer, and sometimes this aspect of the Rambam is unfortunately misunderstood, the Rambam is in no way relating to pure religious characteristics, Torah study, fear of God, performance of chesed, prayer. The Rambam, as we'll see, is eminently clear from the continuation of the conversation, as well as the part I already read, is describing human characteristics. Anger or tolerance. Appetite for material or satisfaction with a deprived lifestyle. Happy, gay, joyous, mirthful, or sad, lamenting, almost morbid. So in all these areas of human character, the Rambam asserts and endorses a balanced approach, which the Rambam refers to as Derech Yishara, which we know as the golden mean of the Rambam. Very often people employ the Rambam's policy or principle of golden mean as an excuse for mediocre religious behavior. After all, I follow the Rambam's position, so I only have moderate levels of Avas Hashem or Yirat Shemayim. I don't spend all my time that I can studying Torah. I'll spend more moderate. I'll balance it out with other approaches that aren't always necessary. Those questions may be important questions, but they are irrelevant, or the Rambam's principle is irrelevant towards those questions. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos is not describing religion in the ritual sense, Torah and mitzvahs bin Adam Lamakom. The Rambam is describing the way in which we sculpt our character, the type of personality which we develop, the people we become, not the ritual we perform. And the Rambam calls this Mida Beinonis. In fact, he hasn't even called it Mida Beinonis yet. He calls it Derech HaYeshara in the end of Halacha Beis, and it may be helpful to open a Rambam. He begins Halacha Dalet. I'm skipping Halacha Gimel, but in Halacha Dalet of Hilchos Deos, HaDerech HaYeshara he Mida Beinonis Shebechol Dea VeDea Mikol HaDeos Sheyesh Loli Adam. The middle road, which is known, of course, as a Mida Beinonis, the middle, the mean, the golden mean, golden just being a attribute or a phrase of supremacy, of appeal. It's golden, it's elusive but valuable. The Rambam also calls it Derech HaYeshara. Yashar means, of course, virtue, integrity, ethics. The Rambam saw in the word a double entendre, not just integrity and ethics, but balance. Yashar means straight, and when something is balanced, something tenuous is balanced, it appears straight. When it's imbalanced and lopsided, then it appears crooked. And a little bit later in the first parak, the Rambam actually quotes a very famous pasuk. The Rambam quotes the pasuk of this is Halacha Dalet, where the Rambam associates the word Derech Yishara, the Yashar path, with the phrase Mida Beinonis. The Rambam, in the end of Halacha Hey, describes the Mida Beinonis, the middle approach. Mitzuvin anu lelechas bidrachim ha'ilu habeinonim. We are commanded to follow the middle approach. It's the ideal according to the simple reading of the Rambam. Mitzuvin anu lelechas biderach habeinonim, darachim habeinonim, ve'im adrachim hatovim v'hayisharim, and the balanced V'asisa hayashar v'hatov, which typically refers to a super ethical level of behavior, a person who follows not just the halachic mandate, but the ethical or moral responsibility, even beyond the letter of the law, good Samaritanism, volunteer or voluntary moral behavior. The Rambam takes the word yashar, doesn't really quote the pasuk of V'asisa hayashar v'hatov, but he takes the word yashar as a reference to a balanced, steady, and unshakable approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to personal character development. And he even somehow projects this midah beinonis onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He concludes Halacha Hey by reminding us B'halachta Bidrachav, you should simulate or approximate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a well-known concept of imitatio Dei, to mimic the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And the Rambam himself, in the ensuing halacha and halacha vav, quotes all the areas of morality which we should try to emulate: the Rabbonu Shel Olam, pity and rachum and chanun, kedusha, etc. But somehow the Rambam feels that by maintaining a balanced middle approach, we are not only succeeding in a human endeavor of balancing out our personality and preventing the dangers of excess, but we are veering closer to the model of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'halachta Bidrachav. This is a very, very provocative Rambam. Amida Beinonis is not just a recipe for human success, but ultimately it reflects the closest that a human being can come, at the personal level at least, to imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to modeling our own character after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam develops several different terms to describe Midah Beinonis. One is, of course, Midah Beinonis. One is Derech HaYishara. And then in the end of Halacha Hey of the first parak of Hilchos Deos, he actually associates Midah Beinonis and Derech HaYishara with the concept of V'halachta Bidrachav, of following in the ways and the manners of the Rabbonu Shel Olam. He also establishes a very interesting phrase to describe the practitioner of Midah Beinonis. In the end of Halacha Dalet, after he describes the various areas of balancing, so for example, at least in Perek Aleph, he talks about the balance between anger, which we may call indignance, and tolerance. A person should be tolerant, but not so flaccid and disinterested or callous to human suffering that nothing raises his ire. There's got to be some level of moral indignance. Person shouldn't have a voracious appetite for material pleasures, but he also can't be an ascetic or ascetic. He has to. A person should be thrifty and frugal, but not miserly and stingy, certainly in the area of tzedakah. He should be full of happiness and joy, but he also shouldn't be frivolous. And these are some of the areas that the Rambam iterates, and certainly these are not the only areas of Midah Beinonis. And then he concludes Halacha Dalet by exclaiming, Derech zu hi derech chachamim. Kol adam shedeosav dea beinonis mimutzaos, whoever adheres to the middle approach, nikra chacham, is referred to as a chacham. In Halacha Hey, he describes those who even slightly alter the balance and the poise of Midah Beinonis. Mishuhu medakdek al atzmo biyoser v'yisrachek mideya beinonis ma'at letzadzeh nikra chassid. He contrasts the chacham with the term chassid. A pious person does incline, migrate, or shift the balance even slightly towards the extremes. And he contrasts the midah of chachma with the midah of chassidus, the midah of balance, wisdom, intelligence, with piety, and even slight migration towards one of the extremes. But he leaves no question about his preference, even though he seems to validate both approaches, both the approach of the chacham, which is the thesis of Hilchos Deos, and certainly of Perek Aleph, and the approach of the Chassid, there's no question that he constantly highlights the approach of the Chacham, the Midah Beinonis, as a superior approach. It's a very interesting Gemara, which may have served as the source of the Rambam, highlighting two different approaches, a slightly different area, but at least you can see the different terms and the different attitudes emerging, and just attitudes that are not meant to conquer each other. We're not meant to highlight one to the exclusion of the other, but at least the Rambam, on a personal level, felt that one really was superior. The Gemara in Shabbos in Kuf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis describes Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Barav Huna, one of the Tanoim, one of the Amoraim, mentioned this halacha in front of Rabbi Barav Huna. What happens if a person kills snakes and scorpions on Shabbos? And assuming a person is in some sort of threat or danger, he's allowed to, at the very least, capture them. You're talking about someone who actually kills them. So the Gemara in Shabbos describes someone who kills snakes and scorpions, Ein Ruach Chasidim No Chahimenu, that the pious ones were disappointed, were opposed to this type of behavior. There could be some alternate solution which would both maintain personal safety as well as avoid Shabbos infraction by taking the life of a living creature. Amar Leh, so when Rava heard this Amara reciting the pious position, he said, Osan Chachsidim, these pious people, Ein Ruach Chachamim Nochem Mehem. The Chachamim were disappointed. He actually employed the same language which this student described to capture the response of the Chassidim. They weren't Nocha, they were angry, they were disappointed with the snake killers on Shabbos. So Rava said, Rava Bar Huna, well, the Chachamim were disappointed and angered almost by the Chassidim, because this is not a time for excess piety. Personal lives may have been endangered, and Pikuach Nefesh is Dachar Kol HaTarakula. So again, this is not precisely our area of personal character development. This is something more deeply entrenched in the world of ritual and Shmir Shabbos and Isser Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh. But it does possess some of the same flavor of our conversation, that piety would tend to incline towards an extreme, which may be blinded to some of the realities of life which would restore necessary balance. So the piety of Shabbos perhaps would impose a very disciplined approach to Shmir Shabbos, which would create hesitation and pause towards killing snakes and scorpions. With the realities of human life and of the danger, and sometimes when a snake or a scorpion attacks, even alternate strategies, which may seem valid on paper, can be very, very dangerous. And the Chacham is sensitive to competing realities and conflicting needs, and somehow is able to balance them in a way the Chassid isn't. And in general, to elaborate for a moment, there are these two traits in the human soul and the human heart that contradict, or don't contradict, but ricochet off one another. And in each religious heart, part of the challenge of religious growth is creating some sort of balance and alliance between the two, between our wisdom and between our piety. It's a very interesting story where Reb Chaim Volozhin, the star Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, questioned the Vilna Gaon about accepting a particular project which he was offered, a project in Torah. And the Vilna Gaon answered Reb Chaim, his star Talmud, Reb Chaim Volozhin, told him, you shouldn't accept this project, you shouldn't be involved in this area. Told him in Yiddish, "Du bist a kluger, nicht a frummer. You're a smart person, you're not a frum person." Now that would seem odd, and it may have been very insulting to Reb Chaim Volozhin. He wasn't frum. Halavai, we should all be as frum as Reb Chaim Volozhin. But I think what the Vilna Gaon was touching upon is that in each person there's a basic approach or disposition to life, and for some people they view their life through sophistication, intellect, wisdom, science. Not a question of what you study. It's not a question of Torah Mada. Do you study secular science? You view the world in sophisticated and intellectual terms. And for other people, their view of religion is just raw religious dedication and piety. They don't think about the subtleties and the varieties of ideas. They just grasp one idea and they fuel their religious world with the force of its energy. And naturally, these two traits contradict. Sophistication, intellect, profundity, depth does not always allow the same passion and raw energy to emerge, because everything is seen as balanced and subtle and complex, and complexity sometimes erodes or effaces our passion, and passion sometimes simplifies life and renders it inauthentic. Not all of life can be condensed into one syllogism or one principle. And somehow we have to locate who we are naturally, whether we're frummers or kluggers, whether we're frum or we're smart, not that wisdom isn't smart, as the Gra told Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and we have to try to understand our nature, complement our nature, and ultimately develop our nature as well, but also complement it. And the Vilna Gaon at least assumed that Reb Chaim was a kluger, was a bright person, not a frummer, and as a kluger he was incompatible with whatever offer was being lodged to him. I sometimes feel that this contrast between frumkeit and klugkeit is very evident in the difference between Shlomo HaMelech and David HaMelech. One could say that David HaMelech was a frummer and Shlomo HaMelech was a kluger. I think that their magnum opus, their manifestos, certainly reflect those differences. Shir HaShirim, which was really Shlomo's greatest work, is the greatest poem ever written. The sophistication, the complexity, the metaphors, the layers of meaning, the panoramic landscape of colors, topographies, materials, references, materials, flowers, flora, fauna, fruits, vegetables, is simply breathtaking. And it takes a certain intellect to be capable of that sweep. And that intellect was capable of employing that imaginative sweep and capturing the enormity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relation in Am Yisrael through Jewish history. You really need a mechanism large enough to capture something so enormous. And if you're able to tap into the depth and energy of Shir HaShirim, you're able to sense the lyrical nature of Jewish history. And without that sweep, Jewish history just passes you by. David HaMelech's Tehillim is terrible poetry, but wasn't meant to be poetry. It was meant to be a hymn or a psalm, and it's raw religious energy, a torrent, a tidal wave of religious emotion, whether mortification, embarrassment, confidence, longing, yearning, and it isn't a historical map as much as a personal encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And not only doesn't it require the subtlety and the sophistication and the profundity of Shir HaShirim, but that sophistication would ruin it. Shir HaShirim is laced with metaphor. Metaphor is meant to be deliciously ambiguous. It's meant to be vague. When a poet inserts metaphor, he doesn't complete the metaphor. He doesn't tell us what the metaphor refers to, but he invites us to read multiple layers of meaning into the metaphor. So each and every phrase in Shir HaShirim invites multiple coexistent truths. Every phrase refers to different overlapping layers of Jewish history. David HaMelech routinely completes his metaphor, which is terrible poetry, but again, this is not a chalila v'chas, an insult to Tehillim. It's rather trying to cast Tehillim not as poetry, but as a religious torrent, as a hymn. So when David HaMelech says, Ki ayal tarog alafikim ayim, that I am like a ram coveting you on the banks of the river, Kenafshi Taragalech Hashem, so my soul leaps up to you. That's not a way to write poem. You don't want to complete it. When David HaMelech writes, V'ayakeh Shasul Apagimayim, that the righteous person will be like a tree built on the banks of the river, and then he completes it, Asher Priyo Yitain Bito V'Leleibo V'Chalashe Yese Yatzlich, produce fruit and shade and leaves. And you don't complete a metaphor, but David HaMelech is not trying to introduce metaphor. And somehow in Shlomo and David we have this contrast between Chachma and piety. And it's not incidental that David HaMelech exclaims, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. And Shlomo in Koheles writes, Reishis Chachma Kenei Chachma. Ultimately, if we're given a choice, then our Yiras Shemayim and our piety has to come first, has to be the driving force of our religious character. Excuse me. And to a degree, I think the difference between David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech is displayed not only by their very distinctive works, but they each sinned and they each fell, and somehow David HaMelech had the capacity to rehabilitate his moral self and Shlomo didn't, and he didn't perform tshuva, and somehow in the end, without religious passion as the primary source of religious identity, we may allow our intelligence to become unanchored. But ultimately, in the balanced soul, Chachma and Chassidus have to cohere. It's interesting that the Rambam seems to prefer Chachma, and it's certainly reflective of who the Rambam was in his approach to life, and he associates Chachma with the Midah Beinoness, and it does take an appreciation of complexity and sophistication and subtlety and lack of absolutism and extremism to find that middle approach. And the Rambam at least believes that that middle approach is the more healthy, at least again in personal ethical character development, not in the world of ritual. So Mirat Hashem, next year I'll continue discussing the Rambam's Midah Beinoness, and then we'll start to address some of the particular character traits of Avodas Hashem.